Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I'm John Batchelor with Professor Eric Klein. The book is After 1177, Lessons Learned About How You Cope With, How You Survive, How You Don't, What Resilience Is When the World Has Met a Catastrophe That Wipes Out Crops, Wipes Out People, Reduces Populations by Up to 70, 80, 90%. And we come now to the Minoans, which we know as Crete, and the Mycenaeans, which we know as not the mainland, a series of islands that are attached, the Peloponnese, the mainland where Athens is, but this is early on. And so the question is, how did they survive or did they? And herein, Professor, I divide into the Mycenaeans and the Minoans on Crete. The Minoans were builders. The Mycenaeans were okay builders, but they inherited a lot, if I read this correctly. The Minoans were building huge operations, sort of like Belt and Road Initiative. Why? That looked to be a creation of genuine superiority. Why did it fall apart?
Well, these are good questions. But what we've got basically in the late Bronze Age, we've got the Minoans on Crete, and Sir Arthur Evans excavated the site of Knossos. But and it is on the Greek mainland mainly that we've got the Mycenaeans, sites like Mycenae, where Agamemnon may have ruled, and Tiryns and Pylos. And they also do have pretty amazing structures like the Lion Gate at Mycenae. They're actually kind of rivals, the Minoans and the Mycenaeans at that time. They're both known overseas. The Egyptians called the Minoans Keftiu and the Mycenaeans Tanaia. And eventually, actually, the Mycenaeans take over Crete before the end. And so that may have helped contribute to the demise of the Minoans. But overall, in my categorization, the Minoans and Mycenaeans are down towards the bottom. They're almost examples of what not to do. But why that is the case is still a question. It's a dilemma. Because the writing that we've got, Linear B, as it's called, which is an early form of Greek, Linear B, which is an early form of Greek, is used mostly just for accounting purposes. What came into the palace? What went out of the palace? We don't have, you know, early copies of Homer. We don't have histories, songs, poems, things like that. So we don't have anybody recording for us why it went down. We don't even have any indication of whether there was poor leadership or not. But what seems to be appearing is that they may have been more fragile and more vulnerable than was obvious to external appearances, right? Like having a tree that is rotted internally, but you can't see it from outside. And it's only when wind or a stressor hits it that it falls over. And so we are now thinking that, especially in the case of the Mycenaeans on the mainland, that that is what had happened, that they may have overextended the period before the collapse. In Greece, actually seems to be a pretty good period in terms of rain and agriculture and all that, and they may have overextended, but they are also doing construction projects that are too long, are too big, too ambitious, draining the Copais Basin, for example, building the Lion Gate at Mycenae, and the peasants that they are using as cannon fodder to build these may have rebelled. When there's drought and famine, there may have been internal uprisings in Greece. So this is one of the things that I explore in the sequel is it possible for a society like the Minoans, like the Mycenaeans, that appear outwardly to be so vibrant and successful to actually internally be rotted from the inside. And that, I think, may hold lessons for us today, if one is so inclined to look at it, that something that looks like it's doing well might actually not be doing so well. So I think Minoans and Mycenaeans are a complicated case here. The end result is, after the collapse, there is no one that calls themselves Mycenaeans or Minoans after about the 11th century BC. It takes a little while. But then their societies go away just as completely as the Hittites did. That doesn't mean there aren't survivors. And the membrane is permeable between the Bronze Age and the Iron Age, such that the names of the gods and goddesses from Linear B and the Bronze Age still continue in the Iron Age. Zeus, Hera, Poseidon, Ares, and those. But things have changed. The Wanaks, the great king, there's nobody like that in the Iron Age. Now it's the Basileus, who had been a minor person back then. So one of the questions we've got, and you mentioned Homer and the Iliad and the Odyssey, is he, who is writing at the end of the 8th century BC, but describing the Trojan War that happens in the 12th century, is his account accurate? And if it is it for the Bronze Age or is it for the Iron Age? That is, has the story changed over the 400 years of being handed down by word of mouth? So we use Homer very cautiously, and yet it's intriguing to see what he says.
The questions are in the graves. We're going to the graves next. Several graves excavated ask even bigger questions than I've ever confronted. I was taught in the 20th century that we knew what the Greeks were. No. The book is After 1177 BC, The Survival of Civilizations. Eric Klein is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.